You know, they just things that we did,
hobbies.
But my brother could draw very well, and I had a cousin that could draw very well. So I think there was sort of an artistic quality that went into the Jordan side of the family.
And you obviously encouraged him as well,
yeah,
because you have talent
too. Probably
did.
Because they always talked about, he had drawn a picture of Grandpa sitting here. Grandpa was asleep in an old rocking chair, and he had drawn a picture of Grandpa, but that picture was lost.
Mm-hmm.
Rosalind kept saying, I wish I could, we knew where that picture was. She remembered it.
Mm-hmm.
She was very fond of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was her favorite brother.
Mm-hmm. We would like to try to get some dates as to when he was in the military and when he went to KU, and
mm-hmm.
did he go to another art school besides the Cleveland one? I think
no,
we thought maybe he went to
so.
A second
I don't
one.
Think he
okay.
did. But I have no idea of dates.
Mm-hmm.
I know I was up at KU, and I had two times I was gone for a while working. I didn't graduate until 54. He was up there sometime in there, wasn't he?
In the 50s, early 50s, maybe?
50s or somewhere in there.
Okay.
And I wish I could remember the name of that co-op he lived in. The guy that had all the history of the co-op didn't seem to have his name. He was interviewing all of us, and we sent our biographies and things to him. But now he's sick. He lives in Denver. And I don't, all that information he collected, I think, is just sitting there. He may have turned it over to somebody else, but that inner co-op council group was pretty popular up there.
Do you remember the name of the one you lived in?
The one, it was kind of, it had a funny name. It was kind of graduate girls. I wasn't
mm-hmm.
a graduate girl. Graduate girls in co-op, couple. It was my brother's was Jayhawk Co-op, and the other one had a special name. But the one I was living in, it was kind of conglomeration of the certain group of people. They didn't name it exactly. It didn't have a fancy name. We just said, oh, these are graduate girls. I wasn't graduate, but I was a little bit older because I'd been away
mm-hmm.
from KU, and I came back to finish,
mm-hmm.
and I lived there the last couple of years. And so we had a common experience. When
mm-hmm.
he was at KU, because graduate, those co-ops, we live with groups of people that are of different races and some different countries,
mm-hmm.
and evidently there was some guy there that was Irish that taught him how to make mulligan stew, because he told me, I can make a good mulligan stew, and fast, too. I never forgot that. I said, fast, okay. He didn't say a lot, but I had those little memory
mm-hmm.
words of it.
Yeah, yeah.
When he came back here, you know, he had been away so long, and he came, his sister brought him over here, and we went out. There was a big old mulberry tree out back, and we went out and sat up near that tree, and he sat there and said, I'm home.
That's nice.
It's just that sense of feeling, mm-hmm. you know, after all, being away so long. Mm-hmm. But,
do you remember the year that he came here to retire? It was in the 1980s. I wish we could be more definite.
It was
but
very late, because mm-hmm. my father had died when that picture was taken. I had that picture of him.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And my brother was home that year. They had the same time. So they had both come over. My brother was in Kansas. And it was somewhere early 90s. My dad had died about 1990 or 91. So it was right in that. But he'd been back home for a little while, not a lot. I don't know if he'd been back there. I'm not good with dates
mm-hmm.
at all.
Well, and you know, we just don't seem to have much of a record, so
yeah,
everyone I interview, I'm
yeah.
asking if
yeah,
they have dates.
They don't have.
Because what
Rosalind
we've got,
would have known, but she was kind of systematic, and she kept her albums and things like that. I'm just kind of, oh.
Well, and we may get something from her
yeah.
albums if we get
yeah,
to look at those. I'm glad to hear
mm-hmm.
about those. That would be good. And we've also questioned how many years he worked for the Smithsonian. Do you think he worked there 30 years?
I bet so.
Okay. We've also heard 20.
From the Cleveland Art Institute and went right on up to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Started up there when he was up at the, I don't know where it was, Disney people saw his work at Spokane. They wanted him to come out there,
mm-hmm.
and he turned that one down and said, I'd rather work for the Smithsonian. I don't know whether he's already working there at the Smithsonian. He did tell us about one time when he was up there, he got to go on a, what do they call him, a dig? They went down into Old Mexico or something. They went on an archaeological dig or something, and they took him along. And he thought that was pretty nice. He liked that. But he said all those, he was kind of anti some of the leaders of the departments and stuff. He said they can't do anything, but they think they can do a lot, you know, manage things. And they get all the praise and the glory, and all the people that can do something don't get it. And he's always kind of angry about that. But
he works very hard, it's obvious.
Yeah. Okay. He was old. If he'd get something started, he didn't stop. When he came back home, he didn't have any way to do much in the way. He had some clay and he did some little tiny sculptures and things. But he was living over there on Walnut, and he'd go over to see him, and he'd open the door, and the whole house smelled of turpentine.
So he was still painting.
Still painting with oil. I said, I gave up oil some time ago. I couldn't deal with that anymore. I just had moved to acrylic. But he never did move to acrylics that I knew of.
We see no evidence of that either. And what was it, Rosalind's house? What was it, Rosalind's house appeared to be mostly oil, so you're right.
I think so. Yeah. I think they're mostly oil. Mm-hmm.
And that's what he was familiar with? And that's what he liked?
Yeah.
And clay, evidently. And
clay, and then his paintings were oil.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that. He did a little bit of drawings with other materials, but not a lot. He was not a multimedia kind of person.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit more.
These were small sculptures, but when he was in Washington, everything did flood. At that one place where they had this burial scene thing that was so famous, there was one group of, it was an African village scene. That one really impressed me. You just felt like those little people were just going to move up, start dancing right in front of you. They were so good. But he did all kinds of things. He said, well, I had to make this scale model of, was it Pat Mitchell? Her body, for a gown. He told me this gown, they had this
first lady's gown. Yeah.
And he said he had to make this scale model. He said she was coming there.
She was. That's interesting.
So he took me all around. We had lunch at the setup building cafeteria. It was on a Saturday. I spent a whole day with him. We went all around.
To your knowledge, was that the only time that he was pulled out of his usual work, was to make the model for the Pat Nixon figure?
I don't know.
I just wonder what other things he did that we'll never know.
I don't know. Yeah, because they don't put his name on it.
I know.
One thing he did know that he made, a little scale model of the blue whale or something whale. And they had made, maybe it was a big whale, but they made it, reduced it down to a little scale model, and they were selling that in the Smithsonian, wherever they have a gift shop.
Yeah.
I know they did that. But he wasn't in the commercial things. It's whatever they did.
Now, when you visited him, did he have any of his artwork on display in his own? Did he live in an apartment?
He had an apartment. And it was bare as wall. I said, most people live, less is more, but you need more and more. He had a couple of chairs and a little table and a little radio. He looked very quaint. And his little car, he had a Mustang, a black Mustang. And my brother's wife said, that was the most trimmed down Mustang I saw. Didn't have anything in there except they had a heater. No nothing, no radio, no clock, no nothing, you know. But
so that's the car he would drive when he would come home. Did he come home pretty much every October?
Almost every year for a while. I'd see him every year. One year he came, he said, come go to California with Keith and I. We're going out to see Mom. He invited me. Keith didn't really want me to go. He was kind of sullen sometimes. And I said, something to do. I wasn't working or anything. And I said, Dad, I'm going to California with the boys. I jumped in the car and off we went. And driving. And we got out to Salt Lake City, and I was thinking, maybe I'd get to see the Great Lakes. we got in there early morning before dawn and drove straight through.
Never saw that Great Lake. He said, well, we're not out sightseeing. We're on our way to, they were on their way to, we went up to Berkeley that year. And yeah, he was up there. And then we went down to L.A. to see his sister. She was, I went up to Berkeley. Rosalind was living up there, there in that area. Went down to her sister was living down in L.A. area. Went to see her. And his mom and them, I'm not sure, I kind of forget the route, but we did go out to Victorville. His mother and dad were living in Victorville. We went out there, but for a little while. I'm not quite sure what, but it's so long ago, I can't remember. Do you have any idea why he did not sign his paintings? I think we found one that has a signature.
Because he wasn't planning to display them. They were just his.
Just for him.
He's very private. He didn't display them at all. And it was a long time before Rosalind and them even put a picture of that he had done.
Mm-hmm.
He'd given them each a little small replica of some of the sculptures, a little scale model thing. But that's about all I'd seen that he'd done when he was grown. So he just wasn't into display.
Yeah, not commercial, like you said.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And he didn't know any famous people or anything. He would never get a book like that out of him.
Never know. Yeah. I'm sure you're right. I'm also real curious about, if you look at the pictures that you have here in your little folder, he has some distinct interests, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the religious, you mentioned the landscapes, and you mentioned his Kansas landscapes probably came from his childhood and
time
his memories.
In Sylvia. That's the only time that I ever saw him.
And the religious, you know, that's between him and God, isn't it? We're not really going to know. But he read his Bible, so that's that influence. What about these pictures that appear to be influenced by the Holocaust?
By whom?
The Holocaust? The Jewish people during World War II?
No.
There are quite a few of them that look like that.
More something from the religious theme.
Okay.
I don't think he has much of anything from that.
This one might even be, I don't know. There are some that look like German soldiers and people who were in concentration camps. We were trying to figure out where that...
I don't remember if it.
They have some at Carriage Factory. Yeah. And we wondered if it was the Holocaust Museum that was being built there in Washington, D.C. And
I
he would
know.
Have visited that, and for all we know, maybe helped
maybe
in some way. And he was influenced.
He might have been. He never talked about it. Yes, he didn't.
Well, that's not a surprise, is it, that he didn't talk about it?
He didn't talk about politics or anything.
Mm-hmm. And he just chose to share the things that were of interest to him, I think.
Mm-hmm. Some of these sculptures and things, they kind of had, you know, like masses of people, you know, that were being persecuted or terrible. You know, that could have been from that.
And yeah, persecution is a good word to use, because even some of his religious ones, you know, that is there. Do you think he ever felt persecuted, or did he ever feel not included, or to your knowledge?
He didn't. Voices. Just leave me alone kind of person. One time he said, one time, when he came back here and he put a roof on, that's how he wanted to do it himself, up on the roof. And he said, little kids stopped by and talked to him. He said, he didn't mind little kids because they're like little birds. They don't linger long. They just... Other people bothered him.
And you know, this picture here, going back a page, with the dancers.
Yeah.
Do you suppose there was a dance studio near where he lived or something? We're just trying to understand where he found his subject. Yes, and there's several others that are dancers.
Yeah.
And we just wondered if where that came from.
I don't know. He never said. Never talked about that.
Well, you said he wanted to be mysterious.
Yes, he was. Had a lot of blank pages in that book. Yeah.
Now, you have pictures from, are these the ones that from the Carriage Factory, or?
No,
when it was at Bethel. I'm real interested, isn't that pretty?
Yeah.
I'm real interested in, how did he feel about this? How did he feel about having his very private art for the first time being on display.
Like he didn't, I don't think he even went to the show. He was really, you know, this is when he had the stroke, mm-hmm. and he didn't identify much. I think they took him out there later. He didn't come on the day of the opening. And he was really pretty sick, you know, in mm-hmm. that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how he reacted. I tried to get him, when he first had that stroke, I said, well, you better do some artwork, maybe. I'll get you some materials. No. He wouldn't touch a pencil or paint. I said, you don't have to do clay. That's messy. And I said, I could bring you something, a step pad and different things. No. Just like it was. But this is like Sylvia, Kansas.
Mm-hmm. So he allowed the work to be exhibited, but he did not really...
Yeah, I don't know if he had much to say. The kids just took over. They decided they were going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he said it. He was kind of noncommittal. He might have been all right about it. Yeah. He liked to do the human figure a lot. And
mm-hmm.
these kind of remind me of something Van Gogh would have
They do. Said. They're very colorful.
Kind of like
and that is
he
the other...
He didn't do an awful lot of... Color.
No, that's what I was going to say, because most of his are, well, not most, but he has so many that are the black that you spoke
really,
of earlier.
Yeah, a lot of dark background.
And the colorful ones really do stand out. So
he didn't do a lot of those.
And I wonder if it was a point of time in his life where he did the colorful ones as opposed to the black and white. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's such an interesting...
He didn't put the dates or anything.
No, we have
but
no
I
idea.
But I would know that the landscapes were kind of after he'd been in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And came home. It was out in western Kansas.
Mm-hmm. What age was he, or around what age, when he had his first stroke?
Well,
you
that
remember?
Was probably he'd been back in the early 90s, but probably he'd been back maybe 8 to 10 years, maybe early 80s at the most, I'm not sure when he had that. That's stroke took him down.
But he remained at home for a while, right?
Huh?
He remained at home for a while after the first stroke?
No, not too. He tried to, mm-hmm. but he wasn't doing well. The girls were going to go to see him, but he wasn't doing well. And so he lived with one sister just a while, but she wasn't too well. So Rosalind took him out to the farm. She was living out at the farm. He went out there and he worked. This was before he had the stroke, though.
Mm-hmm.
He was out on the farm out in the country there, and he cleaned up all the area and all these little buildings. Rosalind's husband had been a kind of a hoarder. He had these buildings full. My husband got, don't write all this.
I'm not.
Husband got mad when came home and found all his stuff gone. He didn't like clutter.
Mm-hmm.
Just get rid of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He lived without clutter.
Mm-hmm.
Don't clutter my car. Don't clutter my room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
interesting.
Okay.
If I asked you how Vernon would describe himself,
mm-hmm.
what do you think? How would he describe himself?
Well, I don't know. He had a kind of a feeling that he was a really good artist. He knew that. He knew that he had ability. He thought he could have been about as good as Michelangelo if he had, you know, he strove for that,
mm-hmm.
that kind of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't try for any kind of recognition. He just wanted the ability
mm-hmm.
to do things, to make things beautiful or good or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he didn't care for people clamoring around or... Well, that one guy, that Carmen person, must have hit some tender spot in him, because up to that time he had not let anybody see his work. He lived very private in this big apartment house, and I doubt if the people in the apartment even knew he had did artwork, other than if they could smell the turpentine.
And yet, it sounds like if he were to describe himself, it would be as an artist. That was probably the
that
main thing about
him. Before he had the stroke.
Yes.
He saw himself as an artist,
mm-hmm.
a good artist,
mm-hmm.
I think, too.
Yes. He had confidence
because
in his work.
When he would talk about some of the people in charge, said, they can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He was a doer. He, mm-hmm. you know, the artist can do, and the other people maybe administrate or mm-hmm. teach or something, do mm-hmm. something else, you know, mm-hmm. the artists do and the artists teach, as they say.
I wonder if he ever did any kind of teaching, like when he neared retirement. I wonder if they, because you know he had a had so much knowledge after probably 30 years at the Smithsonian.
He didn't share much of it.
I just wondered if they asked him.
He's smart.
Yeah.
But he's not, he didn't share anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. He talked to me sometimes. He'd come over and we'd just, before he had a stroke, and we'd just visit and talk. I don't remember. We'd just talk about old times, but mm-hmm. I don't remember much of what we talked about. It just
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'd go for a silent period. Wouldn't talk from, they'd see him, I'd be bothered.
Well, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want to say about Vernon, about any of your memories of him, or anything that you would like people to know about him?
No, you know, I don't know. Can't think of anything else. I kind of rambled on.